Good morning, church family. It's good to see you today. Let's stand. We're going to worship the Lord together. We are gathered in Jesus' name today. Jesus is our hope and our foundation, our solid rock, our Savior. So let's join and worship Him best we can. You're a sea of voices.
We are a sea of voices, we are an ocean of your praise, gathered under one name. We are a tide that's rising, and we cannot be contained, gathered under one name. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing the glory.
Tells us that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our one foundation is Jesus. He bought the church with His blood. He's redeeming us. He is drawing us to Himself today. So let's sing this great old hymn together and rejoice in our foundation and our hope.
The church is one foundation. Is Jesus Christ the Lord? She is His new creation by water and the Word. From Him He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He
Sing that last line again.
With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
In this time. Father, we bring our lives before you, and we simply say, praise the Lord. Glory unto your name for your faithfulness. Even when we are faithless, you remain faithful unto us. Lord, I pray that today you'd hear the cry of your church gathered across this land. We'd see healing come from a virus. I pray, Father, we'll see healing from a divide, from violence. Lord, I pray that you would quieten the animosity and bring unity to a land that so needs it. Father, I pray for our churches. Oh, Spirit of the living God, come on us. Help judgment begin at the very house of the living God. Do that work even in us today. And I pray, God, that you would heal our land. We ask for it. We pray for our president today, for the Congress, for the governors, and ask you, Lord, for local leaders to have wisdom. Lord, where churches are being told they can't gather, give those pastors courage. And I pray, God, that you'd anoint them, give them creative ways of gathering their people. I pray, God, that in the midst of persecution, we'd see revival come. Thank you for our own state, for freedom we have here. Help us be wise, keep us well, and help us go boldly with the gospel. For this offering now, we're grateful. For faithful people, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated. This group comes to sing this day.
Higher. whole world sees that you are God.
Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in a moment in verse 35 and read to the end of the chapter, then over in Matthew 10 and verse number 16. This morning we're looking at God is calling. God is calling. God is calling people to His church, sending people from His church. The church is a receiving place. Some of you today, never trusted Christ, you ought to say yes to Him and come be a part of this church. Some of you are saved and ought to come be a part of this church, putting your membership here. I talked to a couple of families after early church today, considering coming to be a part of our church. You saw these three being baptized, coming to the church. God is calling people to come, but as He calls us to come, He calls others to go, and He sends us out. Jared Espy, we talked about, is one of those that God sent out. Jared, you're in this service somewhere, I think, aren't you? Holler amen. Where are you? Amen. Yeah, I heard him over here. There he is, right up here. He wrote that last song that the group did. I knew he was supposed to be here, and so I was just going by faith. I'd hear that amen. Good to see you, my friend, and grateful to have. Young man, grew up in this church. God called him, sent him out. And grateful to God for His pen and for His voice. Some of you, God is calling to go with the gospel. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And our Lord speaks about this call as Matthew records our Lord's journey. The Bible says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." Then in chapter 10, Jesus summoned the 12, names them, speaks to them. In verse number 16, we read Jesus saying to those 12, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves." The calling of God. God calls the unregenerate, the unredeemed, the lost unto Himself. You find Jesus in this very passage. He is teaching, He is preaching, He is healing. And then you see that He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom unto them. And He called them to come to Him. He felt compassion. I can see Jesus weeping in this passage. I see His heart moved as He sees the lostness of people all around. They are lost, lost, lost. He goes as far as to say that they were like sheep that had no shepherd. Lost. We find lostness all through the Word of God. Jesus went on to say to these 12 to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He sent these 12 first and foremost and only really unto the Jew. They would turn to the Gentile later, but first it was to the lost of the house of Israel, to the Jew who did not know God. He said, go to them. Lostness, all through the Word of God, Jesus tells parable after parable about lostness. He, in Luke 15, gives three parables about lostness. He says that there was a man who had 100 sheep, 99 were found, and one was what? Lost. There was a lady that had 10 pieces of silver, 10 silver coins, 9 were in her pocket, but one was lost. There was a man who had 2 sons, one stayed with him, but one was lost. There was a lost sheep. There was lost silver. There was a lost son. When you go on in Luke 15, you come to chapter 19, and you find Jesus walking into Jericho, and he encounters one called Zacchaeus, and he invites Zacchaeus to come and be saved. He calls him to come, and that old vile tax collector, he came to Christ. And in Luke 19, in verse number 10, Jesus said it this way, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost. Some of you sit in this room today lost. Some of you on the computer sit and watch. You feel comfortable watching, but you're lost. Some of you on television, lost. Lost without Christ. It simply means to be void of God. But I got good news for you today. The lost can be saved. They can be found. I got good news for you. God loves you. Listen to me. God loves you in spite of your sinfulness. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, how low you've been. I'm telling you, the good news of the gospel is that God loves you in spite of your sin. I got better news than that. Not only does he love you in spite of your sin, he'll forgive your sin. There's some people in this room won't forgive you. They're not good. They're not that good. You offend them, they'll say no. But God says, if you'll come confess your sin, I will forgive you. He loves you in spite of your sin. He forgives you of any sin. I got better news than that. God says that when you come to, he'll forget your sin. He casts it far as east, east, and west, puts it behind his back. He remembers it no more. Your wife won't do that for you, but your Savior will do that for you. Amen. Are you a husband? I understand, but we don't have the capacity to put all of that up. But Jesus not only loves us and forgives us, he forgets our sin. God sent his son to pay for yourself. Friend, you can't save yourself. You can't even do anything to get yourself saved. You don't pay 99% of it. He doesn't pay 99% and you pay 1%. He pays it all. He pays it all. We had a little girl in the church, first church that I was a pastor of, a little church up here north of Birmingham, Alabama, out in the country at New Lebanon Baptist Church. I was the pastor there for a year. I met my wife. We got married. She came out and there became the pastor's wife. And she sang in the choir. She led the choir part of the time and taught in preschool. We had a little girl in the preschool. One Sunday, I gave the invitation, and that little girl walked forward. She's over 40 years old now, probably 50, have children of her own. I remember she came that Sunday, and I asked her why she'd come. She said, Pastor, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I said, well, why do you believe Jesus would do that for you? She's just a little girl. She said, well, you know, we sing that song, Jesus painted it all. I didn't tell her that wasn't a song because Jesus did paint it all. Amen. He painted it all. Jesus paid it all. That's the song, Jesus paid it all. But to this day, every time we sing that song in church, I hear it anywhere. I think of that little girl where Jesus painted it all. Amen. He didn't paint part of it. I'm here to tell you, he painted it all. And he'd save you today. He's calling you. He woos you. He says, come, come, come. From the top row of the balcony, the front row of the church, he says, come to me. And when I give the invitation here in a few moments, I'm going to be standing and I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and I'm going to ask you to come to Christ. Don't come to me. I can't save you. Don't come to this church. We can't save. Come to Jesus and we'll point you to the blessed master. We'll take you to the baptistry, but that water won't save you. Our prayer won't save you, but the Christ of Calvary will save you. That's why there's a cross in that window. That's why there's a cross on top of this building, atop this dome, just above, it's right above the pulpit. That's where that cross opens its arms and says, whosoever will, come, and I'll save you. Dear friend, if you're lost today, God loves you. We reach through a camera. We reach through a message. We say to you, come to Jesus. The Lord went weeping and herding to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, calling you to come. And I invite you right now, just stop right where you, just stop. If you're lost without Christ, you want to just ask Him to save you right now. Say, preacher, what would I say? Just say these words, Lord, save me. You mean that with all heart, and I'm here to tell you He'll save you today. You say, don't I have to know more than that? Yeah, well, you need to know more than that. We'll teach that to you. We'll help you. We'll disciple you. But right now, you just begin. You just step to Jesus. He'll save you today. He is calling you. He's calling your name. And friend, I'm telling you, when He saves you, He never forgets your name. I was with a family this week where we was getting ready to do a funeral, and they said, well, you know, mother's been sick, and she really hadn't even known who she was for these many months. I said, well, you know what? She may not know her name, but Jesus knows her name. Yes, He does. The winds and the waves still obey Him. He knows their name. He calls, and I'm telling you, He'll never forget your name. He knows you. You're lost today. See, friend, to be lost just simply means to be without God. The Lord has had four homes in this world. He first lived in Adam, but when Adam sinned, He vacated the house. When the Jewish nation was set, He had a tabernacle, a temple. He lived there, but there came a time He vacated the house. He then lived in Jesus. God became flesh and dwelt among us, but He vacated the house. When Jesus became sin, the Father turned His back and left Him by Himself. Let me tell you, friend, today God lives in you. You're the tabernacle. I got good news for you. He's not going to vacate the premises. You're saved for eternity. And He lives within you. But if He doesn't live in you, you're lost. You're dark. You're without God. And you need Jesus today. And if whosoever will call on Him, He will be saved. God is calling today. Amen. He's calling. He's calling. Come and answer the call. But not only is He calling the lost to salvation, He's calling the laborer to go into the harvest. Notice what He says. The harvest is plentiful. My Lord, yes. We got all kind of lost folks. My son works for the prosecutor in Northwest Florida. And I told him the other day, I said, son, I may not get paid, but we'll never run out of work. There'll always be plenty of people to prosecute and to call to repentance. Grace and law never run out of business. Because the harvest is plentiful. It is there. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. But the workers are few. Pray therefore for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. He's calling you. He's calling me. Now listen to me. He calls us all to go and labor. He calls us in different ways, but He calls us all to go. If you're going to answer that call to be a laborer in the vineyard, number one, it'll take courage. Chapter 10, verse 1 says He gave authority to them. I'm telling you, friend, you'll have to take courage. We live in an old, wicked, and dark world today. The world's been darker than it is right now, but it is as vile as it's been in my lifetime in America. It is dark. It is difficult. And when you go, it'll take courage to speak Jesus. Not only do you need courage, you need character. Character's found in verse 16. He said, I send you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Who would send sheep to wolves? Why would He do that? You don't send sheep out to wolves. You keep the wolves away. This figure of speech, our Lord says, when you go with the gospel, it's like sheep going to wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as a serpent, harmless as a dove. serpent? Serpent? I thought the devil was a snake. Why would we? Well, in Egyptian folklore, the serpent was wisdom. I hate snakes. There's only two kind I don't like. Alive and dead. That's the only two I don't like. I rarely see snakes, but I did the other day. I was walking out and where I walk every morning, and as I was walking, I mean, there was a snake. I think he looked, I don't know, 40, 50 feet long. That's about what it was. I mean, it just kept on coming across the road. I was just like, oh. Man, I froze. You know what? He more frightened me than I was him. I mean, he is getting it. Watch this. Shrewd as a serpent is what Christians need to be. For when a snake gets in trouble, they'll go under a rock. They'll run. They'll go to a hole. They're shrewd. They know how to protect themselves. And they'll run and they'll go. You need to be, you need to know when to run and when not to run. Snake will protect itself. You need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. You need snake intelligence and dove innocence. The basic idea that we're talking about is saying the right thing at the right time in the right place and having a sense of propriety and appropriateness, trying to discover the best means to achieve the highest goal. It's neither wise nor loving to be needlessly accusatory or inflammatory. You see, friend, this social media thing is getting the church in more trouble than she can get out of. You're not placed here to win an argument. You're here to win a soul. Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's what we're to be in this world. Shrewd as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Those doves are most harmless and gentle of all birds, and they represent pure innocence. Being true to God's word, uncompromising in proclaiming the gospel, does not require, nor should it include, being abrasive, coarse, inconsiderate, belligerent, blatant, or even blunt. We need wisdom and innocence. We need to be cunning as well as gentle. This world's hurting today. One of our young girls, she's a college freshman. I keep up with her. She just moved to her college out of state. I sent her a text yesterday. I said, always live for Jesus. Stay pure. I'm praying for you. Between services, I got a text from her. She said, Pastor, one of my dear friends' his parent died, and they're very angry. She said, what should I say to them? I said, darling, just pray for them and then ask if you can pray with them. But I said, what they need right now is they need you to love on them more than anything in the world. Only God can change their spirit. You can't reach their spirit. But be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. She wasn't here today. I don't know if she listened online, so I just gave her a little of the sermon. Dear friend, when God called you, and He's called all of us, we need courage, but we need character. Snake intelligence and dove innocence. But there's a cost. There's a cost. If you're going to be a witness and answer the call. You read chapter 10. Some were arrested. Some were betrayed by their own family. Some were hated. Some were persecuted. Some were maligned. Some were killed. I'm telling you, there is a cost involved. Now, being one of these that answered the call to labor, there's different ways to labor. Some are called to what I call being a local evangelist. That's all of us. Everybody. You go to school next week, you save, you're supposed to be an evangelist. You go to work on Monday morning, you're there as an evangelist. That's your pulpit. You're in the workaday world, that's where you are. I had my annual heart checkup this week. And so I went in, and they had done the test. And the cardiologist said something to me he never said before. He said, "Your squeeze looks really good." I said, "I think she's a doll. I'll just be honest with you. I really, really do." He looked at me. He's not an American, and he didn't know what squeeze meant, I don't think. He was telling my heart was doing good. It was squeezing like it's supposed to. Now I walked out of there, and I walked into the mission field. He's part of it, but he won't stay lit long enough for me to talk. But when I went outside to the schedule maker there, they got to talk to you. Amen. Anywhere you go, you're on mission. God's called you as a laborer. You may not have answered the call, but you'll give an account one day. We are all local evangelists. Now, there's another level to that. Some have been called, like I have been, in a vocational setting. Some of our staff that's here and people that pastor other churches and work, they're those that are local evangelists that are preachers and teachers and workers. But in addition to that, it's a word I've borrowed from a Presbyterian man I read this week. There are also those that are frontier missionaries. They're not local evangelists like here in Pennsylvania, but God's called them out of the church to go elsewhere. Romania, have some Romanians watching this morning. They sent me a text that they were on watching us today. God may call you to Romania. He may call you to Rwanda. He may call you to Rhode Island. But he calls you to what we would call frontier missions, where it's tough and there's not a high percentage of believers, and God would call you. Pray that God would call laborers into the harvest. He's called you if you're saved. How many people in here are a member of Olive and saved? Raise your right hand and say amen. Now, let me tell you, if you're saved and you're a member of this church, you have been commissioned to go tell the gospel. Now, if you hadn't told it, you're out of the will of God. Your job is to win the lost and bring them unto Jesus. Your job, my job, our job as local evangelists to do that, and then some call to frontier missions. I thank God that the Lord calls out of our church. I'm glad Jared's here today. He's called them out of our church. Amen. Let me just run out. I've been looking here. Jay Bell, are you in this service today? Did Jay make it? He's supposed to be here today. Not sure if he did or not. There he is. Hey, Jay. Good to see you, friend. That's a man on a frontier mission. God called him out of this city. Professional baseball player. Now manager of a team. Well, sort of. No season for minor league ball. Talked to Jay yesterday. That says God's got him there. He said, well, he's there to manage that team. He's there to manage that team, but he's a missionary. That's what he's to do. He touches those players. How we do it. God's called us all. Pray for God to call out laborers. That, friend, it's work. It's not easy. It's not an easy chore. It takes courage. It takes character. There is a cost to pay, but oh, the reward. Bless God for the reward that God's called us to be a part of that. This morning, he's called some people out of our church to specific places. We're going to celebrate those and commission those this morning. One is not here, and I want you to see this about 40-second video. Brian Beck, is in the Coast Guard. He's been in our church, but now God's called him to go as a missionary, and we're paying the freight through our taxes with the Coast Guard and the U.S. government. But listen to this young man on the screen.
I'm Brian Beck. Folks around the church call me Beck. Pretty much everyone calls me Beck. I'm a machinery technician, third class, on board the Coast Guard Cutter Dauntless. It's like a diesel mechanic. But I'm also called to lead boat church, and so I love leading boat church. It's bringing the gospel to a bunch of people that have either never heard it or very rarely hear the gospel. And so just bringing it to them and leading them, and disconnecting from like the whole military life and just getting people stoked for Jesus. And so it's a really cool thing. Continue to keep Boat Church in your prayers. We're about to head out. God has called me to the Dauntless. What has He called you to?
His Coast Guard ship boat is his pulpit. That young man was in the early service today, but he couldn't stay for second service because he's got to go get on the boat. I asked him, I said, how many people you have in boat church? He said, well, I started with four, about five, and he said, last tour I got up to 20. 5, 10, 15, 20. I'm telling you what, Sam, if we did that well, we'd pack this place up, wouldn't we? I said, Beck, how do you do that? He said, well, I just ask them to come. I said, where do you meet? He said, we have the officers' quarters on that small boat, and I just invite them to come. And I said, what do you do? He said, we just open the Bible and teach. And he said, I have a book that we're reading through, and God just does a work. He grew up. He was in our church for a while, and God called him. And when he went out to get on this boat, he said, God told me He'd call me to this boat. I've got a captive audience. And he said, I'd just walk those halls and invite them to come to Bible study. And God's using that young man. He's paying the price. He's doing the work. He's a laborer. We have five others that are here today that I want you to know. This is Ethan Jago down here on this end. His wife Diane are here. They have three children. Ethan grew up at Olive. Some of you remember him. He was here. He wasn't quite this size when they were here, but he's a little boy. And God grew him up. And his daddy was a pastor, is still in Philadelphia there. And he, of course, was with him. He's a keen-minded apologist. Came here and believes God's called him to missions and ministry. And he's really had an affinity with our college kids. And so we have named him the first. This is the first full-time minister to college students from Olive Baptist Church. That's all he's going to do. He's going to minister to students at UWF, some at the junior college, but we're going to put he and his dear wife. Diane is a wonderful author, and if you've never read any of her things, you'll want to, and we'll help you to understand how to do that in days to come. But Ethan, we're glad you're here, going to work, just about to retire out of the military and be a part of what we're doing, reaching UWF. 22nd of this month will be our first gathering of UWF students. We're getting ready to redo this building out here that you guys have already given the money to do. We got the money in the bank. We're going to make it that mission center for students and young professionals, and Ethan Jago is going to lead the way doing that. Secondly is Sam Schwanke. He stands right here with Emily. They're getting married this week, toward the end of the week. Amen. Sam was born and raised in New Hampshire, came to school here, started coming to Olive, and God put him into our fellowship on a leadership team in college ministry. That's where he met Emily. He's got a great servant's heart, and he's been working in our community missions office, and our person in that position is going out, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. And Sam is stepping into that beginning just right now, and he's going to help he and Emily. After he puts his arms around Emily, he and Emily are going to put their arms around our community and do community missions, working with Sean Pillay in our missions office. And grateful to God that God brought Sam here from New Hampshire. His last name is Schwanke, all right? You can learn to say it before you learn to spell it. I can say it. I'm still working on the spelling, all right? Amen. I love this young man, and grateful to God that he and Emily are here on our team. Next, in the middle, you see Hannah Smith. Hannah was was born and raised in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Several years ago, they moved here to Pensacola. She was a flight attendant, and then God dealt with her heart about missions. She is going on what is called the world race, and for many months, she will be simply racing around the world with the gospel, with this organization that backs the world race, and she'll be going. It was supposed to be international to begin. Right now, travel's a little difficult, so they're going to begin nationally, and then they will move to the international part, but they're about to get going. I believe they bumped it back just a little, but this fall, she will be out. It would have been just almost any day now, but they're waiting, just like we're waiting on our small groups a little bit, and Hannah will be taking off and going around the globe with the gospel as God's called this young lady, and she's answered that call, and we commission her right out of our church this day. Amen and amen. Then the Lambeths are right here. This is Mitch and Deanna, and they stand here with us today getting ready to leave us to go to Wyoming, where they will serve with the Water of Life Church. Mitch, back in 2014, we ordained him as a deacon here in our church. He had been teaching over at Lead Academy. He went this summer to spend many weeks out with the Water of Life Church in Wyoming, and a lot of us in the staff, we said, he'll never come back. He'll never come back. God's just gripping their heart, and they got out there, and they did come back, but they've resigned from their teaching posts, and they're getting ready to go and serve alongside that pastor there, Johannes. Did I get his name right? Amen. And I'm not even going to attempt his last name right now, but I love that guy already. I've listened to him some online and grateful to God for what they do with the cowboy culture there, and that fits this couple. And as is often the case, God confirmed in the wife's heart before the man's heart. But together their heart said, we've got to go. And so they're resigning here, picking up, packing up, and taking off to go. Mitch, when are you leaving?
21st
of this month. Yeah, so they'll be out from us. I often joke and say when we have troubled deacons, I hire them on staff so I can discipline them. But Mitch was such a troubled deacon, I'm sending him halfway across America to get rid of him, all right? Honestly, boy, this is bittersweet. Hate to see this couple go. But yet, when God calls, you go. And the church receives and the church sends. And the Lambeths are going into that great, great mission field that will be there. Amen. And then Josh Dickens, a longtime member of our church, has served on our team here, has helped in the missions office, and then doing some of our local church mission. And now God's called him to seminary, and with the beat in his heart of planning a church in the city of Pittsburgh. If God allows it, that's what he plans to prepare to do as a church planner, going to Southeastern Seminary with Dr. Aiken, and he'll be there studying for that master's program, and when he finishes, God will place him somewhere, but right now, deep in his heart is that Pittsburgh, and if God lets it happen, we'll help him get it done. Amen. We'll partner alongside of him. As he exited out, then Sam steps in to that missions post. And so these six, these five, along with the young man who's on the Coast Guard cutter taking off, we are commissioning them this day. I'm grateful to God for all of these that we're sending out. Sending out. Say, Pastor, you're not sending. Yeah, we're sending these out too. They've come into our church and now they're a part of us. And God grows up staff right out of the middle of us. Well, in a moment, I'm going to pray and commission these and commission you as you go where you're supposed to be. Maybe at the business where you are, people come in and out, God sends them, you speak to them. At the place where you go to school, God has you right there. But we're going to pray over these with these specific callings, and I've appointed some people to come and pray over these folks. And so you come right now, very quickly, those of you that are appointed to pray over each of these, and they come. Hannah's daddy is going to come and be right here, college students down with the Jagos, and we're grateful for that. Some of our deacons are going to come right here, and well as family members. And Sean's going to pray over the missions, and we've got Chris over here. So I'm going to kneel right here and pray and commission these five along with Breck, and we pray over them and give them unto the Lord. Don't let this be the last time you pray for these people. You remember who they are, and you know when you see us doing all of this work, you pray for them. You know that seminary finals come in December. You pray for them. As you get reports and you can follow Hannah on her blog, then you know where she's gallivanting around the globe. And you'll know when it gets hard, because her daddy will be sitting here crying on the second row. All right, and we'll pray for Dad as he's right here in this place. And you can keep up with Mitch and Deanna as they do the work that God's called them to do there in Wyoming. Some of you today, God's calling. Some to be saved, some to be baptized, some to join this church. Some of you to go, to answer the call of God, where He'd have you to go and to serve. I'm going to kneel right here and pray. You join me. These are going to pray over them. And as they pray for them, and as I pray for them, you pray for them, but you answer the call of God that He has in your own soul this day. The laborers are few, the harvest is plentiful. Beseech ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you send witnesses, harvesters. And Lord, I thank you that this place called Olive has been sending people for over 125 years. Thank you that you continue to call out from us those to go. Lord, thank you for my own home, little church there on the mountain that prayed over me and sent me. I thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, now we commission and send these. For Ethan, I pray, oh God, send a revival to Pensacola and let it start on the campus of the university. Raise up preacher after preacher. Help this man disciple and win. Bless his sweet wife as she encourages those young ladies. For Sam, Lord, what a great week this will be, he and Emily saying, I do. But Lord, thank you that they've both said, I do to your will before they said, I do to one another. Help them put their arms around this community. And we commission them with your fire and power to go. Lord, for sweet Hannah, thank you for that infectious smile, and I pray you'll use it around the world as she hands out the gospel, meets needs, sometimes with just a cup of cold water. And yet, God, you're going to use her. We give her into your hand. Pray you will be done. Protect her, guide her. Open up the right doors at the right time through this pandemic to be right where she needs to be in the harvest. Lord, for Mitch and Deanna, Lord, it may surprise them, but it doesn't surprise any of us you called them there. Thank you for their hands to work, for their bent toward that cowboy country with horses and cattle. Thank you, Lord, for their heart for foster children. So needed there in Wyoming as well as what they've helped us do here. Use them mightily. Lord, help them on a ranch somewhere to talk to some cowboy about the one that paid it all, was pierced through for our salvation, branded for Christ. Lord, make them. Lord, for our friend Josh, thank you, Lord, for what he's brought to our team here, and now we've watched you call him. We release him to the seminary. We pray that you'll help his mind to be keen, his spirit sharp. In days of loneliness and discouragement, raise him up. Help him plow through, sharpen his axe for that church plant where you've got prepared for him to go. We'd not forget Breck today, getting on that boat. I pray even today he'd invite somebody to come to church, boat church. And God, as they travel the seas, I pray that people would see the Master in Breck. Use boat church for your honor and glory. For these five, six, and others, we commission them in the name of Jesus under the banner of Olive to go and reap the harvest. Help us all join them, telling the old, old story that many might come to Christ. And it's in the name of the blessed Lord Jesus we pray today. Amen.